And I can sing. Ah, ah,
ah. Protein. Do you think that's good? You ever seen that, Step Brothers?
I'm Derek and I can sing all of this.
No? You're not with me on this.
I just thought I'd stay silent just to leave that awkward beginning to this episode out there.
But the more you stay quiet, the more I'm going to fill that with all the times of absolute rubbish.
That was our plan, really, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, anyway, so high protein.
If you didn't get it from Josh's little intro song,
then hang up now, don't listen, press the red button, because, you know, if you can't follow that sort of knowledge and greatness, then it's probably not worth listening to this podcast.
It was pretty high, to be fair.
It was high. Anyway, high protein is what we're going to touch on today. Protein. I mean, I don't know what episode it is, so I just gave up on that as the beginning entrance part, because...
I'll just have a look when I post it, look back at what the last one was and put a number.
See, very musical today.
Wow.
He's on one.
So...
maybe see how many songs you can get in for this episode.
Next episode.
I think you should just see everything.
Okay.
So this high protein bandwagon we see... yeah, every bit of food now is added protein. You know,
Weetabix.
Yep, added Weetabix. Added protein in Weetabix, yeah. God knows how they do it. I think it's wheat protein they've added.
Just more wheat.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there's other things that are now...
more money, more problems.
Yeah, that as well.
It's getting the songs in now, isn't it?
I'm stopping now.
Most people probably won't even know what you're actually referencing, but... yeah, lost my train of thought on the high protein. We see things like all the labels are now promoting. Oh yeah, this is high in protein. This is high in protein. But then without the actual, I mean, it's probably never been low in protein before. But now they feel the need to make people buy more higher protein foods, so they show that this is high in protein. I don't know why. Where it's come from over the last maybe year or two, we've seen a lot of added protein on labels and in foods and stuff.
Because it's a buzzword, and we've discussed the whole buzzwordy things in the past, but I think there's confusion over protein, it all being the same as well, in some respects it is, but also like our sources of protein. Like we often talk about getting, you know, decent levels of protein in.
But why get decent levels?
So you can get really huge and stack like Arnie.
Yeah, because obviously there's a correlation between the amount of protein you can eat and how big you can get your muscles, right? So the more protein you eat, the bigger. Obviously, that's not true. Don't believe that. Because otherwise, we'd all be walking around stacked.
What?
Yeah. Mark's and just putting down his bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. What? All protein.
Talking about high protein, all protein, no fat. Yeah. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I
think we've got to be careful here not to sound like we're being...
condescending.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's a better word than dicks, because that's what I was going to say. But I think the thing is, there are sources of protein, but then they come with added other things. Like, so, you know, people look at where they can source protein from, first of all. And it's like, yeah, well, as we discussed earlier, you can source protein from broccoli, right? You can get protein within your broccoli, right? But is it the best source of protein? There's a lot of broccoli to be ate to compare to, say, something like your lean meats. Now, when we talk about lean meats, that can be confusing for some people. I know I've got a client today who come in and he's sort of like trying to reduce his fats because that's something he wants to try out.
Reason being, obviously, 9 calories per gram of fat compared to like 4 calories per gram of protein and carbs.
And carbohydrates.
So we're
looking
at fatty foods being not just, they could even be called, like, in brackets, good fats, but they're still calorific, right? So we're trying to look at, you're helping him reduce his fat intake for a good reason, right?
Yeah, and because he had actually come off trying, paleo, keto, it was very high fat diet. With protein, it's just something he tried out and actually didn't mind it. But then he was like, oh, I want to try and stop that now a little bit. And I was like, okay, well, listen, I'm up for you trying whatever works for you and can sit with you and you can adhere to long term. So if that's something you want to try out, then, you know, I'm up for everyone trying everything and then making your own decisions. And he tried it. I really struggled to get my protein in because I couldn't do it without my fats going up. So I sort of questioned where his sources of protein were. He went, well, you know, like steak, and I was like, okay, what kind of steak? And then he sort of like, oh yeah, well, yeah, oh, and I did have this and it did have the fat on, and I was like, okay. And I had that with eggs though, and I was like, yeah, which you've also got fats coming in with your egg. So it was almost that he saw it as a one-track thing, right? So it was like, if it's protein, it's protein. It doesn't like overlap. And often we see that, right? Things put into proteins, fats, carbs.
Yeah, when actually there's a lot of overlap.
Definitely a lot of overlap in a lot of things. And there's certain foods, like, you know, if we were to look at, say, certain like white fishes, you know, white meat, like poultry, you know, chicken, turkey,
there's a few very lean choices, obviously, that we can see.
And then there's others which would still definitely fall, like,
still very high protein.
Somebody said to me, oh, well, actually, I can have a fry up because I'm having mushrooms, tomatoes, bacon, sausage. And I was like, well, actually, 100% we can have whatever you want, right? But you could definitely have that. And he was like, because really, it's really low carbohydrate and high protein. And so I asked what sources, you know, was he getting from his, like, bacon and sausages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were pretty standard, like, you know, from supermarket shop or, yeah, sausages, supermarket
pork
stuff.
With, like, yeah, 70% meat and the rest's fillers.
And that's
whereas if you went chicken, sausages, I know it sounds boring, but trimming the fat off your bacon, it's all stuff that, you know, mixing egg whites with your yolks to make scrambled egg rather than just all whole eggs. You're saving on your calories, and it's not a bad thing to be looking at little cutting little corners sometimes to be
and
still enjoying stuff.
Your cooked breakfast, your fry up, whatever you want to call it, can be massively different but kind of the same in a weird way. As you said there, you could have sausages, bacon, but yeah, maybe a chicken sausage, maybe trimmed off bacon. You may not have cooked it in a load of butter, although it's butter and it's seen as healthy fats in some people's eyes and stuff like that. And, you know, there's all these, and regular milk, all these different things. Like, just changing up slightly small, you know, small variants can make a difference. And just by not frying it all, you know, you can grill things, you can oven cook certain bits, you know, you can do whatever. It can make a real big difference to your total calories. And you can almost sit down with near enough the same sort of meal. But it's just kind of understanding what's in what a little bit again. And we come back to that so many times. And I still find it very hard when people are trying to make a change to their body in any way, shape or form, whether it be, you know, putting weight on, reducing weight, maintaining weight, whatever, to not know what's in your foods, it's making life so much harder than it needs to be. And often when I say, just track for a little while, if you're completely new to it, just start to understand the food you currently eat. Don't change it, if you just understand what you're currently eating. Now, if you're currently eating, you know, 4 cakes a day, 5 cookies, but then obviously, I mean,
that kind of, you're obvious.
You get slapped in the face by that. I mean, you don't need to... But when it comes to things like, if you're actively trying to eat well, you can still do that. You can eat, but you can just find out what's in those foods. Because if you're somebody who constantly eats, you know, certain fishes or chickens or whatever else it may be, then you can carry on doing that. You definitely don't need to stop doing that. And you can work out just what's in those types of things rather than going, I eat this, which is great. I eat steak, which is great. But actually, once again, if you're trying to keep fats down, you're eating steak and eggs every day.
Look at the different types of steak you can, different cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to, obviously,
ribeye.
Yeah.
Tomahawk.
Yeah, and how much saturated fat comes in. It's obviously flavoursome, but it's hugely different to your just sort of lean cut fillet or even just a rump that's trimmed off.
How it's cooked and what's cooked it and all that, it does make a difference over time, especially if you're doing it every day, like with your eggs and stuff like that. You can have eggs however in different ways, right? You can have fried eggs, you can have boiled eggs, poached eggs, you know, all the way those are cooked come with additional calories potentially. Yeah. If you're someone to, you know, cook it in, I don't know, scrambled egg and you've got loads of butter and milk and whatever else in, like, you know, there's
a way to make, how do you make a protein shake, like varying calories? By just adding milk, different types of milk to it.
Yeah.
You could go...
add some oats.
Yeah, you can have your almond milk, just a bit of a different liquid base to water. Tastes a little bit better, very low calorie. Semi-skim milk, so you're adding a bit more fats into there. Where you go a nice sort of bulking shake with some full fat milk and...
We don't need to go into it for coffees. Obviously, you can lose weight by adding butter.
Stick of butter in your coffee.
Bulletproof coffee.
The more fats you can to get your drink, the more weight you'll lose, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
It's a foolproof plan.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is it's having...
Do not do that, by the way.
Disclaimer there.
Yeah.
Definitely a joke.
Don't add butter to your coffee.
Yeah. Why? What's the point?
Have you ever done it before?
No.
I've done it. I've tried it. It does taste really good, but
it
makes a zero-calorie drink, black coffee.
100 calories.
A stick of butter, though. The actual thing is to put... I put a little tablespoon... mix it in, it melts. Then I blended it up to make it quite frothy. It's pretty good. But it turned it into like adding about 150 calories of butter. And that was only a small amount. Whereas The bulletproof coffee type thing is add a stick. Like, I don't know how much the stick is, but it sounds like quite a lot, right? Your coffee. That a couple of hundred calories in there. But then I suppose you look at the coffee.
That doesn't even sound like it's nice, though. That, to me, didn't sound nice. If you said add full fat cream, I'd be like, I'd give that a go.
Mm.
But once again, I'm not going down that track because I understand that adding full fat cream is not going to make me lose weight.
Yeah.
But there you go, eh? We've all done things, we've all tried things, and I think you've got to try these things if you don't. Yeah. So what we're trying to say really is, things that you may source as protein or high protein, just have a little check on those things. And like, we looked at, as you say, kind of on the same thing-ish, was a client asking about bread and whether he could consume that. Yeah. And he was searching for bread with the highest protein. Which, is kind of fair enough. If you're trying to get protein into your diet, is it the best way of doing it by getting it through bread? Maybe not. Let's be honest. You can probably definitely get better sources and a lot higher protein intakes through a lot less than average. Because with that protein intake of the bread was coming a lot of carbohydrates and different things.
Because the protein was from like soy, the bread had seeds in as well, so more fats through the seeds and stuff. But then looking at nuts as a protein source. Oh, nuts good for protein. Yeah, they have got them in, but again, you've got to eat a ton of nuts to get your protein up. So, yeah, but nuts are good for you, right? Well, yeah, but you also got 9 calories per gram. So even like a small handful, 15 nuts in your hand, is
you probably have a lot more fat in there than you would protein.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd have 15 nuts there just sitting in your palm. Yeah. So I mean,
which can always happen to me on a weekend.
They'd go, yeah. They'd go in no time.
I mean, I'd often have.
Especially if they're knobbies.
Knobbies, yeah, they're crispy as well. Yeah.
Well, if you look at the variety of nuts that most people consume, it is your Christmas varieties of honey roasted or salted peanuts.
Sensation peanuts.
Yeah.
Grab your peanuts.
Grab your peanuts,
yeah. Yeah, that's it. So, monkey nuts.
Monkey nuts, yeah. It's an old school one.
Yeah, bring them back.
Burned calories.
It's so hard to eat. You sack them off after a while. That's what I think. That is a comment that I haven't even brought up today. Suzanne, I'm absolutely smashing her here, by the way. She said to me, I wish that bad foods weren't as readily available. Basically, she's got no...
So willpower.
That's what happens when you become an adult. You have to stop yourself from doing ridiculous things. So because if you're given... so when you get older, it's like sometimes I feel like I'm sending someone like... with like, 50, 60 quid in their pocket to do a weekly shop, who's a child, because they come back and it's like sweets, cookies and all that. And I'm like, no. So
a good idea would be to put those aisles.
That sounds amazing.
It's like sending my niece to go shopping for me for a week. And I'm like, no.
So what if we put those particular foods at the end of something like a smaller salt course, like a...
In a giant monkey nut.
You have to work hard to get to the actual.
And you get one chocolate button by the end of it. You're like,
oh. A lot of people will be like, I can't really be bothered to get to do that. Or the people who are really dedicated would work hard to get to the calorific food. They'd have burned the calories off, and then they.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll set up an assault course in the back garden with a lock at the end. If she completes the assault course,
I think this was a joke. In I think another podcast, like it might have been Ricky Gervais or something that Carl Pilkington come up with. I could be wrong there, but he said, "Oh, what about if we made?" I think it was Ricky Gervais, made access to the calorific food. You had to crawl through a tube and you had to be a certain size to get through the tube. So if you weren't, you couldn't get it. You'd eat all the leafy greens and everything you wanted. You couldn't get through this tube until you lost that weight.
Yeah.
I think it's because he was going through that particular overweight stage.
So he has to be a certain size before he's allowed to.
So it's quite sizist, if that's a word. But imagine that, all you had to squeeze through, like we went to Pure Gym. To get into like a little capsule to get into the gym, it's quite tight, isn't it?
Yeah,
imagine if you were overweight and you're trying to get into that, you're like, this isn't actually suited for me. I need to get in there to lose weight, but I can't because I can't fit through the door.
Yeah, that wasn't the best place to have that. But if it was like a certain food, but then you know what happens, don't you?
They just stood at the window like,
you start paying people to go in, which you're not even walking to the shop. Good. So now you're sending your mate, whoever it is, Tim's going and buying cake all the time. And it's like when you're buying cigarettes underage. I actually wasn't, but you'd send your tool mate in, right, to go and buy the cigarettes. That's what happened, right? Like, they'll find a way. People will find a way around it.
So going back to Sue saying, I wish they weren't as readily available.
Yeah, there's a part of you that just has to, like, no offence, but...
become an adult.
And just eat like an adult and just realise that, yes, things are always going to be available. And not be funny, if you have £2 in your pocket and you're fortunate to have that there's an opportunity to buy 2 bags of chocolate. No one else is going to stop you doing that.
Does Sue listen to this?
Probably, maybe. She wouldn't understand me because I'm not doing my Irish accent.
Okay.
At home, I have to do an Irish accent the whole time for her to understand me. I'm really good at it. But it's so true. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, we've all got an opportunity. And without being too, like, harsh right now, just sort yourself out. Like, if you really want to make a difference, yeah, you've got an opportunity. You have an opportunity to leave that on the table. To leave the food on the table, to leave the food in the shop. It's not easy, but you've got two options. I'm terrible at it.
Christy says you'd be overweight if you didn't do any training. I was like, she's got a point. Yeah. I do like eating.
100%, and I get that. But what I'm saying is, if you're telling me that you want a result, you're an adult. Unfortunately, that we can't, I can't stop you from going to the shop and getting something. You've got access to everything and anything you want in the world, pretty much, to some extent, right?
Mm.
If you've got the funds, you can go and buy pretty much. It's like going, right, well, you could, if you want to go and start driving like 150 miles per hour down the road in your car. Mm. You wouldn't do it because it's ridiculous. And someone might stop you.
The risk, the reward.
You might really enjoy driving at 150 miles per hour, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be doing you any favours. That's kind of
if you someone eating a donut, the reward is a taste, and it tastes really nice. The risk is adding to their heart disease potentially, or their overweight, diabetes, whatever it is they've got going on. But they don't see the short term problems that come with that. Whereas, like, say, speeding car. The risk versus the reward, well, I'll get the exhilarating thrill of driving 150 miles an hour, but I could get banged up for getting caught.
Yeah.
They're like,
it's more obvious, right?
Yeah, I do really want to drive fast, but better not, just in case. I do really want to eat that donut, but better not, just in case.
I want to say, we're not we are actually, we understand there's more to it a lot of the time, and it's usually deep underlying things.
Yeah, it's habits ingrained, it's eating habits,
100%.
Patterns from childhood, it's
but sometimes emotional eating. You sometimes really are having to have someone around you to help and support you do this, because, it's all well and good me saying, look, just don't do it. But I know there's other things that I definitely do, it's probably things even like on a night out, if I go drinking, I'm one of these people that I'll have a few drinks and I'm like, you've got the buzz, and I'll keep drinking. And like, I kind of don't stop because other people encourage you, right? Because other people buy you a drink back that you've bought them. And the next thing, you've done like 8+ drinks and you feel horrendous the next day.
What's funny?
I just wish that somebody just went,
stop.
That's it.
Yeah.
You've had 4 or 5, you're having a nice time, done. See you later. And if someone did that, I'd be like, oh, sweet. I'd probably be much better. But the problem is, I'm surrounding myself by other people that aren't necessarily ingraining those good habits into me. Like, if I went out and someone was like, all right, yeah, sweet, we've had a good night, should we call it a day there? Or do you fancy a water or a dark cup? I'd probably go along with it. Because it's the environment you put yourself in as well, right? Yeah. So if you're someone who's looking to lose weight, don't then go and hang around with your best mate who loves a takeaway and loves a boozy. Try and maybe call them around to your house and go, look, I'm going to cook for us tonight. Because then you control what's going on a little bit. Mm. And then you're not putting that position and putting yourself in a situation where there's lots of stuff around you, because it's much harder to do it. If you're somebody who knows every time you go to the co-op, you will pick up a pound bag of sweets, then reduce the amount of times you go to the co-op.
Shop online and only get a certain thing.
Yeah. There are things that can help.
There's ways around it, but it is hard. And you need to say support around you is going to be the key to long-term results, for sure.
Wow. The high protein thing lasted for about 5 minutes.
I think we better get back onto that. So the question actually came about, is this considered lean, the protein source, we'll call it, which is actually was a chicken breast. We're like, well, yeah, it is pretty lean now. If you look at other varieties of chicken, so chicken leg carrying a bit more fat, chicken with skin on, so you've got the fat under the skin. Then you look at what other poultry, I suppose, so duck's considered quite a fatty meat.
Yeah.
Then we go on to, say, your red meats, like your beef carrying through, sort of marbled with saturated fat, like your ribeye. We went on within this message within one of the groups, and it was like, well, that's considered lean. Things like white fish, salmon's a bit fattier. You've got your oily fish like mackerel and stuff, it's adding fats into it. Then you've got turkey, very lean, chicken, very lean. Pork can be considered fairly fatty, but then you can get leaner varieties, mince. Yeah, so it's just knowing. I mean, if you have a piece of meat that's got white fat on it, obviously, if you eat the fat, you consume it. If you trim it off, you're not. I mean, some of it's got it within the meat, and you can't really necessarily tell how fatty it is. But that's where things like tracking apps like MyFitnessPal come in, and get a bit of a knowledge or understanding of what. Because I mean, this one of the guys who asked the question, he trains a bit, he knows a little bit, right? But he was still, you know, asked the question: is this lean? Well, yeah. If you look at the amount of content of what the calories within that compared to something else, plus for the weight that is, so use 100 grams just as a bit of a comparison. 100 grams of chicken breast versus 100 grams of duck is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
You 5%, I mean, obviously certain packets think, say like 5% lean, extra lean beef compared to your 20%. You know you're paying more because it's been leaned out as such and just trimmed off before, a bit more of a process to it. And this is all obviously for people who eat meat, you know, any vegans out there, you're going to struggle to eat 200 kilos of broccoli to get the same amount of protein. We know that your problems will be sourcing the sort of less carbohydrate based or fattier based protein sources from plants. Probably another issue, I suppose, another podcast for that side of things, because we're not too clued up on some of the rarer vegan proteins out there, I suppose we call. But then supplements like plant protein powders is where some people have to go to get their boosted protein intake. I suppose
that's where they'd get their lean.
Yeah, exactly. So whey protein's a very lean source of protein, but that's again dairy. So if you're vegan, you have to go for your plant-based versions, which actually we've tried before as well. Digestive-wise, it does help very well with that. So there's loads of options out there. It's just looking at what else goes into those sources. Got back on protein. That's all.
Definitely. I'd say, and that's it. So just don't fall into the trap of like every protein is the same. Just be aware of if you're trying to consume less calories and things, there are certain ways of getting higher protein in.
Nut butters.
Keeping the things should come with a warning sign.
Yeah,
definitely.
Nut butters high in protein. Yes, but it's hugely fatty. Weetabix protein probably don't get your carbs in along with your protein with a Weetabix cereal. Even the Weetabix protein drinks now. Wow. Why? I mean, they got good marketing. People go along and just see the nice label, Weetabix protein drink. Yeah, brilliant.
No, I think that's just the protein label in itself, isn't it? It says high in protein. You tend to go for that option.
I'd love to see the stats from what
else is in.
Yeah, exactly. The stats from like supermarkets of how much they sell of certain products and what does very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know like we have a bit more knowledge about where to go to in certain aisles to find stuff like the little Arla protein pots. You got your quark cheese protein, which is flavoured now, which is more like a yoghurt-y type
thing. I also wonder if it works against them as well. Because, we're seeing it because we're, like, training. And people who, we know a lot of people like-minded who train a lot who go, oh, this is about protein. But then once again, as well, the flip side of that is, I know if, like, probably my mum and that saw, like, a drink that said it was a protein drink, she'd be like, oh, I'm not having that. It's, like, for muscle. See what I'm saying? Yeah, so maybe it balances out a little bit. Because maybe it put people off it. We've said it before about protein powders being seen as like steroids and like. And when I first met Mark, like 9 years ago or something. I'd never ever had a protein shake or protein powder in my life. I kind of was a little bit like, oh god, am I doing something like not naughty, but back then it was a lot less.
I think a lot of brands have now come onto more of the sports performance or more health market. Back then, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever, there was a lot of bodybuilder orientated brands out there.
I was just trying to be like Mark because he was bigger than me. So I was like, yeah.
Where you get the old muscle fuel anabolic. Sounds like a big gym meathead guy who needs to drink that.
And that's the thing, right, as well. Is once again, I'm just saying exactly from my experience because I don't ever judge people. I honestly believed, I was like, oh, well, what protein are you taking? And I still get asked that question all day long. And my reaction has been like, oh, it's nothing to do with the protein. Like, it's the fact that, you know, train regularly, you know, do this, overload my, you know, all that sort of stuff. But the easy question is, what protein do you use? And they kind of, and that's from people who train a lot. And it's like, if they had done the training without ever touching that protein, they may have, you know, got huge results anyway because they'd never trained properly and never put the body under that weight and stuff like that. And I think that's completely true. And I'd got to a point where I was like, yeah, and I didn't use protein to, you know, increase or whatever. I did it once I started to understand about the knowledge and stuff. I just didn't eat enough either. Like, it was so hard to eat.
How did bodybuilders in the like Arnie in his era, how did they get big and strong? Obviously, yeah, there may have been some anabolic steroids going in, but like some of the natural bodybuilders didn't have a refined whey protein to drink after training, did they? They didn't have that option. One of the guys goes, "Oh, I just had," probably not the best advice, but he had like four massive burgers after training each time, put on a huge amount of size. Yeah, because burgers are probably about 1,000 calories each. Yeah. But the training was probably quite intense for what needed to be, obviously.
You're telling me I can eat four burgers after training?
Try it and see what happens.
If you train hard enough, you're all right.
Well, I'm not doing that then. I don't want to train too hard. Look
at the training schedule.
Funny tip, funny thing. What Henry calls a burger, because he sees if we eat burgers, so when you grab it, you like squeeze it together.
Hand burgers?
No, he calls it a squeezer.
Squeezers?
I want a squeezer.
That's quality.
So he thinks the burger's a squeezer. So
that's good.
Quite funny, isn't it?
Well, I've just called myself out there, but I used to think they were hand burgers. And that's probably what took like last year.
Hamburger though.
But it doesn't make sense, right?
There's no ham in a burger.
It's beef, right? Yeah. It's a beef burger or hand burger, because that makes sense because it's in your hand. Mm. There's method to the madness. Mm. And the squeezer totally makes more sense than hamburger, if you ask me.
But then he just picks out the burger and eats the bread bun anyway, so.
Bun burger.
He's not like the meat.
No.
Vegan.
Yeah.
He's trendy, isn't he? Sweet. Yeah. Right, okay, we're going to wrap up there before we go into any more. Finish off like the way you started it. Like that.
I don't know, I think you get higher, mate. Perfect.
Pitch perfect. Right, peace!